Hey, welcome back to the table. This is Tables Parlay, episode 8. This is a podcast that endeavors to parlay conversation into inspiration. I am your host, LA Wings, and hey, it's April already. This year is flying by. Today is April 1st, and today is no April Fool's Day. Today we're going to talk about a sobering subject, since April is the month that we acknowledge Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Today we're going to talk about sexual assault. The context will be with women veterans, our military. I am a proud veteran. I recently retired from the military after honorable service of 23 years. And I have a plethora of stories, situations, scenarios of sexual harassment, sexual assault. And so I have a little bit to bring to the table. Today, we're also going to talk to an awesome U.S. Marine Corps veteran, my fellow sister, who's going to share her insight about advocating for those affected by sexual assault, and hopefully we can inspire and bring some awareness as we try to support and help those who may be affected by sexual assault, sexual violence, to bring awareness as we celebrate Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So come to the table. We got a lot to talk about. Let's go. I want to give a little bit of information before we bring our guests to the table today about sexual awareness. It is said that sexual violence affects millions of Americans, period, both male and female. According to the stats of the Rape, Assault, Incest, National Network, the stats say that someone is being sexually assaulted every 92 seconds. That is mind-blowing. The stats also point to younger people are at the highest risk, with a demographic of sexual assault or sexual violence typically occurs between ages 18 to 34, and the second demographic being from 12 years old to 24, and the majority of victims are women. It says that one out of six American women have been victim or attempted or completed rape or a victim of a sexual assault attempt or actual sexual violent act. Today we're going to talk about that as we bring awareness in the Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And I'm going to share a little bit of my experiences, and my guest here is going to bring some to the table. It is my hope that by being vulnerable and sharing our stories, we can help other people who may have silently suffered. And hopefully by we using our voice, we can free others to use their voice and also provide avenues and resources to get you the care, the support that you need. So we're going to talk about that at the table. So let's go. All right, we have our guest here, my queen, my sis, Toni Williams. Toni Williams is an advocate for women's veterans. She's an advocate for mental health, and she is the CEO of queenmotivator.com. And so she's here to shed light on sexual assault as we are bringing awareness during the month of April for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Welcome, Toni. Tell us who you are and tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it and all the love. Well, my name is Toni Williams, a.k.a. Queen Motivator. I am a United States Marine Corps veteran. And right now I'm located in the DMV area And my background is in education. So I've always been a person that advocated and helped people. And what I do right now is that I created QueenMotivated.com as a resource for mental health, veteran affairs, and the Black female thought. And I guess a little bit of history about me is that why I'm such an advocate, especially when it comes to mental health and sexual assault, is that when I was in the military, it's kind of part of my job as a mentor and as a leader. And I just carried it. I just carried it over to my civilian side, to my veteran status side as well.
Awesome, awesome. I believe the Navy, we call it sapper. And I believe in Army, they call it sharp training.
Right.
Training for sexual assault advocacy. Were you an advocate for the Marine Corps when you were in for sexual assault victims?
I wasn't officially one, but I was part of the community. So they needed me to take a Marine under their wing or mentor them or take care of them, be post sexual trauma or sexual assault or harassment. That's what I did.
Awesome. I was telling our listeners some of the stats that occurs to military members every day. The stats are someone is sexually assaulted every 92 seconds in the United States of America. And then you think about the millions of people who don't say anything who are sexually assaulted in the military. Can you tell us some of your experiences? Were you ever sexually assaulted in the military, and how did you handle it?
I was sexually harassed. And those close to me have been sexually assaulted. I've had to stand court martials and things of that nature as well. So, and I've had it happen, you know, in the same proximity as me and not even knowing that these things were happening. So I think that it's a stereotype to think that it happens to women because we're actually the small majority in the military. It happens to men,
yes,
on a larger scale. So I think that getting that stereotype out the door and just letting them know that it happens to, you know, to all military personnel. It doesn't matter what gender. The things that I've seen and I've witnessed with sexual trauma, a lot of victims won't speak up or don't. Want to feel as though they're in that mindset of they did something wrong and they don't want to start the situation over again and relive it. So even right now, some of the veterans that I mentor still dealing with their trauma, and some of them are doing it a healthy way and some are not doing it a healthy way. And I think especially for Black women too, they feel like that their voice won't be heard or they won't be believed because of that stigma that, because we're strong. I think because of that stigma that Black women are strong. How could that happen to us? Or it's really just ignorance and people assuming about a situation. Because when you get into the military, you know, there's always a stigma about a Black woman. You're either a lesbian, you know, the B word, or something else, instead of like them looking at you as being someone who's speaking up and advocating for certain things. They see that as they see it as you being aggressive rather than trying to help. So a lot of people don't speak up, a lot of people don't say things.
I agree. In my experiences, you know, typically, culturally, Black women are raised to be bold and be assertive and to speak up. And so when you bring it into a organization such as the military, it's often misperceived, especially if it's a majority male environment, white male environment. So the perception is Black women are bitches or Black women are aggressive or we're lesbians. And so that... Right. And that lends to the complication when you are sexually assaulted or you are sexually harassed, because right. When you do speak up, no one really listens to you because you're supposed to be this strong figure. And, you know, in my own experience, I remember being stationed at a command, and I held an office with 7 men in that office. So if you can imagine the sexual jokes, the pictures, the walking around in underwear, and and I knew, because it was such a competitive environment, if I said something, it would affect my evaluation, it would affect my promotion. So many women have that same pressure. If I speak up, you know, will it affect me as far as retribution? You know, would it affect me with my promotion? You know, how I'm going to perceive? Did you experience any of those pressures while you were in?
You're speaking my language all the way. I definitely experienced so much discrimination. So much, like, they didn't want me to even pick up rank. Even though, see, I'm going to give you my backstory too. I came in, I was 24. And then I was 25 when I went into the fleet. So you have people already, like you say, already have this stigma about you. But then when you start showing, you know, how mature you are and educated and knowledgeable on certain things, especially when it comes to the things that the military sees as the military lifestyle, when it comes to sex and alcohol and all these other things, it's kind of made out of a joke. Everything is sexualized. Everything.
Everything.
And especially, you know, it's just the way of life. When I see that, and you got people that are being hurt, you know, below the surface, it's crazy, because it's like you can't stop surrounding yourself with that. When I got blocked and I got blackballed, my whole career.
Why did
because
you
get I advocated
blackballed?
And spoke up for a lot of people. I got oh my gosh, I got held back from promotion. Due to me standing up for the rights of others, it's on different scales. I've been treated unfairly by a superior due to that person wanting to show who had more power,
right?
Rather than mentor me and educate me and assist me in my welfare, it was the opposite.
So even when you try to speak up for others, you get blacklisted, you get black, which causes others to not speak up, because if I speak up for someone, then it's going to affect my career, it's going to affect how I'm being perceived. So then the victim now becomes even more victimized, and it's just an endless cycle, you know.
And that cycle carries on through when that victim leaves the military, you know. It definitely doesn't go away, especially if it was very unhealthy when they discharged. So I think there are a lot of things in place now that help and assist military personnel more so than it did 10 years ago. I can say that. But as far as you being able to speak up and being comfortable with speaking up about certain things, that's being limit that, okay, how do you say it? It's so horrible, because every time you complain, they wanna say that, oh, you're being insensitive to everyone else, and we don't bitch about things. You gotta suck it up, even when you're having mental problems.
Right.
You know,
just suck it up. Yeah.
And then when it comes to having mental health issues, you can't say certain things on that. Because if you hold a clearance and they find out you went to behavioral health or anything of that nature, you know your clearance getting swiped, because you're not mentally capable to do your job. You're not competent.
It's an endless cycle. And
Right.
So that cycle, you alluded to the fact that cycle carries over to even when the military member either retires or either finishes their obligation and becomes a veteran. And the VA has provided resources to deal with sexual trauma post-military. Except the VA calls it, you know, instead of that, they don't call it sexual assault. The VA calls it military sexual trauma.
Right.
And the way that the VA does is that they provide medical care and referral services. However, there are barriers even when you are being treated via the VA system. Let's talk about some of those barriers that you you have experienced and what you actually help other veterans navigate through.
So for me, I just try to be honest about the whole transition, depending upon your budget, depending yeah. upon what type of job you have. If the VA is your primary healthcare, then so be it. But I encourage veterans to have their VA healthcare pertain to a particular issue, and then have your private doctor as well, because they can push more for you in a timely manner. Than what you would expect at the VA, depending upon your issue. Now, when it comes to the women's side of the VA, they've definitely improved the program and the environment a whole lot for women. I can say that from what I've definitely seen and witnessed, and then feedback that I've gotten from other sisters that served with me. I think the biggest barrier right now is just getting consistent healthcare and not being diagnosed with the wrong thing, but actually getting a second opinion as well.
Let's talk about being diagnosed with the wrong thing. That's one of the barriers, because there was a study that the VA did as far as how, why women victims of military sexual assault don't report their issue to their VA provider. And oftentimes there's gender issues. And when I say gender issues, meaning even myself, when I go to the VA, the first thing they say is, are you, they don't ask me if I'm a veteran. They'll say, can you give me your spouse's social security, as if I'm a dependent. And I'm like, no, I'm not the dependent. I am a veteran. So right away, when you're a woman, you're automatically viewed as a dependent. That's one issue. Also, too, you know, when you are dealing with mental health issues, oftentimes women have related that they feel like the provider, the doctor, doesn't really hear what issue that they have, and they don't get the resources or the right medical care that they need. Has this been your experience, or some of the people that you advocate for?
Yes. I think that when it comes to things of that nature, you're just going to have to, that's another thing too, is the knowledge and, you know, going out and getting that information online and seeing what you need. Because a lot of times it's just misinformation, or when you do go see, in my experience, when I went to go see a psychologist, a psychiatrist, or anything like that for my disabilities, it hasn't been a thorough process.
Yeah.
Right. You're thinking that you're going to go in there and they're going to give you, you know, A, B, C, and D, but it's like, well, let me know how you feel about this, and they want to rate you. But it's like, at this point, you're bringing back stuff that I really am sensitive to already, and it triggers all these things that I'm dealing with.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like, what?
That's like a barrier, but that's one of, that's yeah, a legitimate barrier, because, you know, they're they have to get a history, and so the way that they garner that history sometimes makes the patient sensitive to sharing, because, you know, when you come in, you got to fill out a questionnaire, and some patients don't want to publicly or openly fill that out, and then you give it to the people behind the front desk, and who knows how many hands it goes through behind the people behind the front desk. So confidentiality is sometimes an issue or a barrier. PTSD, you know, so by, you know, certain patients having to relive and rehash the sexual assault or the sexual violence against them sometimes causes the PTSD to become even that more emboldened. So those are some of the barriers that, you know, post-military victims of sexual assault have to navigate. You know, you alluded to something that I wanted to make a point on. You said some of the people that you help, some of the women veterans that you help, sometimes do not navigate military sexual trauma healthy. What are some experiences that you have noticed that someone post-military, as far as sexual assault, have experienced?
Definitely have put themselves in risky situations. Like, when I say risky situations, I'm talking about like life-threatening situations, or don't trust the people that are seeing them or won't see anybody because they don't understand their trauma, because they're probably not a veteran. I've seen them definitely be suicidal. You know, the numbers are growing for veterans. They're committing suicide like every second a veteran is killing themselves. And it's so crazy because you got to understand, like, you know, like, as a veteran, you got to be able to trust people. And some people never get out of their military mindset. And that's something that holds really, really, really dear to you, because sometimes that's all you know, in a sense. So just seeing them really go down a really dark path. And some of my sisters I serve with, you know, are homeless, you know. And the only reason I find out if the resources that I extend to them are available is that when they tell me, oh, there's not enough facilities for women, you know, in this part of the region. I'm like, what? They're like, yeah. So it's just like that feeling of despair. Like, I've done all this, you know, in my life, and I've committed myself, but, you know, who's going to help me out? Because a lot of veterans come in, active duty personnel come in homeless already, and we are the family.
Right.
So it's just like, it becomes like this cycle of just trauma. And
it's a vicious,
you know,
downward spiral, yeah.
Right. And a lot of times it's like, you can help people, but sometimes that's what some people know. And that's the really sad part, is not being able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, or you not being able to give them everything that you wish you could give. But
yeah,
a lot of times that's the reality.
There, it's a multi-layered process and downward spiral. Not all sexual trauma lends to a mental health condition, though.
Right.
It lends to trauma, and some of those traumas cause, you know, depression, you know, PTSD.
Anxiety,
relationship problems, all health problems as well. And then the despair of no one is really hearing, or as you alluded before, not really getting the proper treatment specifically to what I need. So there's a multi-layered issue. What are your suggestions, if you were sat at the table of the brass that is at the VA, what would you suggest as far as helping those who are victims of military sexual trauma to be more effectively supported? What would you say?
I guess I would say to them, I would say get more hands-on in these, you know, in these smaller communities instead of the bigger cities.
So you're saying access to care.
The knowledge base that the VA has, the programs, because there are a lot of programs that the VA have. It's just that there are not a lot of publicity on any medium for the VA and what they have.
I heard that many people don't even know all of the programs that are available, because who knows? And how is it broadcast? And how is it marketed? No one really knows. And so that's a good point, you know, publicizing more effectively so that your veterans are aware of the programs that are afforded them. Yes.
Right. Because it's pretty much just word of mouth. That's how I learned a lot of things, you know, a lot of things that I've learned is just word of mouth. And then being a researcher that I am, of course, I'm going to look up things. So yeah, definitely make your social spaces, you know, available, you know, to all veterans across the board, because not all veterans are young like me, of course. A lot of veterans are older, but a new generation of younger veterans are populating. So I think that just having that readily available, that information, And then just being consistent. That's all I can ask. Is having information available and being consistent with it.
Being consistent with it. I think a lot of times it's just the perception with the doctors and the different people that you interface with at the VA is that the veteran is just trying to get a rating. Do you see that? That, oh, they're just trying to get a rating. So I think also that's another barrier that, you know, people don't really completely holistically treat someone that's been traumatized is because, oh, they just want to get a rating. So let's just do paperwork. And, you know, so I think because, that's a misperception.
Yeah, definitely a misperception, because they want to see, like, what's crazy is that they want to see you crippled. They want to see you moaning, but there's some people who just hurt and they don't have to be, you know, they haven't gotten there to that point and they, you know, and they health, and maybe they're just strong people, but they have issues and they just work on it in a healthy way. And people have biases when you sit down at their table, you know, trying to understand, you know, what it is you rate or how is it that they rate or how can you put this on here and put that on there. It should be very professional in that sense. But I've heard stories of people feeling like whoever they sat down with was a little bit biased due to,
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that bias.
I haven't experienced it, but I definitely have heard stories of people who had to wait, you know, years because of people not processing their stuff accurately. And, you know,
because
it's crazy.
So people are just trying to get a rating, and really people are just trying to get help, you know?
Right, because doctor bills, let me tell you something. I still rack up doctor bills.
Mm-hmm.
It costs money, you know? So it's like, if I, you know, not only do I need this for my, you know, compensation and pension on my retirement, but this is part of my way of life. This funds me being healthy. This funds me being able to have a sound mind and be able to do these things, you know, to live.
You think about people who were in Vietnam War and Desert Storm and Desert Shield and the sexual assault and the trauma that they endured. And you think about them coming to the table and now trying to get help and being perceived as, oh, they're just trying to get money. They're just trying to get a rating. They're just trying to get a check. They're like, no, I need help, you know, and trauma that has occurred maybe 15, 20 years ago doesn't just go away. It still shows up in your life in one way or another. And some of that is through alcoholism, drug abuse, violence, you know, in marriages. And so when the veteran comes to the table, you know, they're bringing all of their experience and their service to their country, what they endured, to the table. Right. And so how terrible it is when they come to the table and there's bias at the table of, oh, they're just trying to get a check. No, they legit deserve to get the medical care that they need. So,
right.
Yeah.
And you know, right now the VA is going through a huge transition. So I'm definitely looking at the positive side of things, because it has to change for the better.
It has to
get better. And I think that when people continue to advocate and have those resources available, that's one reason why I created CreeMotivated.com.
Yeah. So let's talk about that.
I know that it's out there. Yes.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. I see that you are an advocate for mental health. Can you tell us your experience and why you're so passionate about mental health?
Well, I'm definitely passionate about mental health because, first and foremost, it's part of my culture and part of my DNA and who I am as a Black American. On top of it, I'm very passionate about mental health because I think, especially serving in the military and being a veteran, I think that we should acknowledge that not everyone is okay. You know, and not everyone understands what type of illnesses or how things happen or grow over time. So, and I deal with mental illnesses myself. So, And that's been hard to talk about because that's something that's really hard to talk about. Used to be hard to talk about because I was in denial for years about a lot of things.
It's a cultural thing. It's a cultural thing because it's a cultural thing on the level of being a Black woman. It's a cultural thing as far as being in the military because you have that whole perception that military people are strong.
Right. Nothing can happen to
especially,
them.
especially if you are a Marine. Come right. on. You know, right. they'll say, suck it up, buttercup. You know, so.
Right.
but it takes true strength to really be vulnerable and to say, I need help. And so that's the purpose of this podcast today is to, there's strength in vulnerability, and it's okay if you've been traumatized, if you've endured some trauma in your life or in trauma and service to your country in the military, trauma as a result of sexual assault, sexual violence, it's okay to say, hey, I need help. I need to reach out, and we need to break down the stigma of asking for help. Do you see that in the military? Is that there's this strong stigma that it's not okay to ask for help if you've been traumatized or I just felt like even in the Navy, you know, that just being vulnerable is just no, you just don't just
right.
a woman like in an all male in an all male you know environment, you know, you just do not want to be vulnerable.
Right. I definitely experienced that. That's actually what I dealt with then is what I'm dealing with now. Basically, you know, I didn't even know I had anxiety. I didn't even know what that was because every time I would have it, I would just go work out, go for a run. Mm-hmm. You know, it would shake off. So it was like a lot of just realizing that this is happening to you after the fact, but then you got to figure out healthy ways. I can't drink myself to death because that's what I was doing when I was active duty. You're talking because about
that's the culture.
I'm talking about yes. I would go home and I would chug a lug lug and listen. I would be at a 4 a.m. run, 6 mile run.
And then go get a 40?
What? Figure it out.
Yeah. That's like the culture, like in the military, you know, you PT and to deal with stress and you drink. That's what you do.
Right.
If it's not PT, then it's alcohol. If it's not alcohol, then guess what it is? Sex. It's like that's the culture in the military.
So yeah, you hit all three, you hit them.
All three,
unhealthy.
Because you don't want to be vulnerable. And if I say something, there goes my promotion. You know, if I say something, there goes the perception of me being a good, whatever, leader.
Right, right.
You have a lot of rank in a high position in the military and you got issues or you got sexually assaulted, who am I going to tell? Who am I going to reach out to? Then that lends even more to more anxiety and more depression and feeling like, oh, I'm drowning in all of these issues.
Right.
And so we need to break the stigma of always wanting to be strong. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to reach out. It's okay to seek help. And so that's the purpose of the day, talking about resources for those who've been traumatized. And so tell us a little bit about why you created Queen Motivator. Queen Motivator.
All right. This is my spiel. To empower the Black female voices beyond measure. That's why I created it. I created myself in that whole makeup to just bring awareness to the fact that, you know, mental health shouldn't be pushed to the side, but encouraged and put into academia. You know, you can live a normal life and it's okay to have trauma. Another thing for veteran affairs, you know, jobs and, you know, get employment, see what events are out there where you can connect with other veterans, female veterans. And then the Black Female Thought is where I write my blogs and then I add articles. But it's for you to be compassionate and know that you're not by yourself. That's the ultimate goal, is to like not feel alone. And when you go on my page, especially Mental Health Hook, you can see crisis line information there for you. And every tab has new information. And I post it monthly. And sometimes I may go in and post it twice a month, depending upon like what resources are available. But I just created that platform so people can reach out and ask questions, and they look like them. Like, they look like me. you can be comfortable with, you know, with just reaching out information. And I started this as a blog, and I want to build it on something even bigger. So it's my baby. I just began. So, and I just hope that it reaches, you know, the Black female veteran and her allies.
That's beautiful. I see that it is a resource to provide advocacy, to provide support, provide information to the Black female veteran or any veteran that you need help in the areas of mental health, in the areas of resources for female veterans. That is beautiful. And can you tell our listeners where they can locate the Queen Motivator?
Yes, you can locate Queen Motivator on www.queenmotivator.com. Or you can hit me on IG, and it's the Queen Motivator. And I'm on Twitter, and I'm the Queen Motivator on Twitter as well. If you go to the main page of queenmotivator.com, it'll send you directly to my Instagram link. And
that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. And you can hit me on thequeenmotivator@gmail.com as well. That is the official account for the Queen Motivator. So, yeah.
Awesome. To my listeners, hit her up. There's a lot of resources for if you are a veteran and you are a Black female veteran or just a female veteran and you need resources for mental health, you need resources for trauma. It is a great resource. Hey, so great to have Toni Williams, the Queen Motivator, as our guest today as she expounded on her experiences as an advocate for mental health, an advocate for those who have been affected by sexual assault and sexual violence. Her website is www.thequeenmotivator.com. You can also reach her on the Queen Motivator on IG. Or if you have direct questions, you can reach her at thequeenmotivator@gmail.com. Look her up. She has tremendous amounts of resources for the woman veteran and for those who are affected by mental health and sexual assault. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and April 2nd is a day of action. It is where we wear our teal ribbon of support for those affected by sexual assault. So please support victims of sexual assault, sexual violence by using your voice. If you have seen someone violated, if you have seen someone sexually assaulted, if you have seen someone sexually harassed, it is incumbent upon you to use your voice. Use your voice for those who have lost their voice, either through stigmas or shame or the assault. Many who suffer from sexual assault, sexual violence, or sexual harassment have tremendous conflicting pressures as to who do I trust? Who can I tell? Where do I go? So if you know someone is being affected by sexual assault, it is incumbent upon you to use your voice to help them and show support. And as always, confidential. Confidentiality is everything. Privacy is everything. Trust is everything. And we want to create a atmosphere, we are a community of trust in protecting those who have been violated. And it is my purpose today to shed awareness on those who are affected by sexual assault, sexual harassment, and sexual violence. If you are a veteran, there are many resources that the VA has provided for those who are affected by military sexual trauma. And the VA Healthcare Center has designated a MST coordinator who will serve as your contact person for MST-related issues.
please seek your medical provider for that MST coordination, or you can go to www.va.gov or www.vetcenter.va.gov. If you are not a military veteran and have been affected by sexual assault or sexual violence, you can reach out to the National Sexual Assault Hotline. And that number is a 24-hour hotline number for those who are affected, 1-800-656-HOPE. Again, the National Sexual Assault Hotline is 1-800-656-HOPE. You can reach them as well on at the website www.online.rainn.org. RAIN is a advocacy organization with the euphemism RAINN, meaning Rape, Assault, Incest National Network. It is a network that advocates for those who are affected by rape, assault, incest across the U.S. 1-800-656-HOPE. Give them a call. Again, the purpose of this podcast today was to advocate for those who have lost their voice through trauma, through assault, through harassment, sexual harassment, as we bring awareness in the sexual assault month. I want to say that I want to encourage those who may be secretly or silently suffering from sexual assault, sexual violence, or sexual harassment to please don't think that you are alone. You are not alone. There are many people who have experienced the same thing, and there are resources available for you. I hope that this podcast episode was a great help to someone, if it could reach someone who may be silently suffering. And I wanted them to know, I want you to know that there are resources out there. If you are a veteran, please reach out to your MST coordinator, via your medical provider, your doctor, to get the necessary resources that you need. If you are not a veteran, there are resources available to you through the national hotline that we provide, a National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please reach out. If you are a bystander and you witness or you see or you have knowledge of, it's important that you support that person who may be suffering in silence by using your voice to help them get the necessary resources and support that they need. With that, thank you for coming to the table today where we parlay conversation to inspiration. I pray that someone was inspired. I pray that someone was helped and someone felt supported by our podcast today. And until then, we'll see you next time at the table, at Tables Parlay.